So how do you like being in this fantasy film? I mean, it's something very different.
I've never done anything like this. And Guillermo is the one person that you want to do something like this with. So I'm grateful. It's beautiful because it's set in a very realistic time period to me. And it's very realistic, the arena that he put us in. But then we have to suspend our belief, you know, that she falls in love with a merman. So it's hard to explain that to people because they're like,
yeah.
And so it's basically for me, I don't want to tell people what it's about. Go see it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have however you feel about it one way or the other, but I don't want to explain it because it's like,
it's hard to
what happens? When they fall in love?
Like your character?
But you happen to be almost an extension to, like, Elisa, right? Like, she doesn't have a voice, but at work, it seems like you're a voice for her. Like, you speak up for her. So there's this dynamic where she kind of needs you in that life in order for it to work and her plan to come out.
Well, I think she, oddly enough, she isn't... Is there sugar in it, Valerie?
No.
I make my stylist. I've been having her get me coffee, and she hasn't been doing it right. I'm kidding. Thanks, Val.
You want a straw?
Yes, please. Thank you, Val. See, this is... Thank you. I don't know what I'd do without you. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I think that... all of the characters are an extension of Eliza. Mm-hmm. She's the glue, and she's different. It's just the whole movie, every person, every symbol, every metaphor is about love. And she's different with me than she is with Giles. At home, he is her voice. At work, I am her voice. I believe we're all extensions of Eliza.
What was your first reaction when you read the script?
Well, here's how that came to be. My agent told me, I'm a huge Guillermo del Toro fan. When I fall in love with a filmmaker, I always go to see their movie to support things financially. So when I saw Mimic, I knew that because it was before everybody was using CGI. I'm like, how did they get this gigantic bug-looking thing to be so scary, and what is it? And so I became a fan of his from that and anticipated everything. So when I heard that I would be meeting with him, I didn't know that, A, he knew who I was. And it was a breakfast meeting, you know, coffee, 30 minutes supposed to be. And 3.5 hours later, we had talked about everything except for the script. And then in the 5 minutes, he's like, you know, I wrote this part for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'd love for you to read it and tell me what you think. So I raced home, and I was in on page one before I even saw my character because of that opening scene where Eliza is asleep and she's dreaming and everything's floating. And I thought, if anybody can make this cool, it's Guillermo. So let me see what my character does. And aside from the character, it was so odd for me. I had just played a woman who worked at NASA, and I had just played a maid, and this is a maid who works at NASA. So it was very interesting. But that's not what for the first time, I played a woman from this era 3 times. Very different, different women. And for me, it was the first time that she ever felt contemporary because... Yes, it was during the 60s, and yes, it was before these women had civil rights and agency, you know. But for the first time, I never had to play those as my circumstances. They were there. But my narrative was all about who I was as a woman and how unfulfilled I was in my relationship. And I was leaping for joy because, you know, when you read that she's a janitor and that the story is around these janitors, it's like... Oh, but he found a way to make it fresh and unique for me, and I found a way to make it fresh and unique for him. So I fell in love with the love story because I'm a hopeless romantic, but I also loved the political implications because, you know, he has 2 main characters who can't talk, and he chooses an African-American woman who's a part of the invisible realm of people because she's, you know, of the working class sort, and a closeted gay man. Mm-hmm. And during the 60s, I mean, two of the most ostracized groups. Mm-hmm. So I was in love at that point anyway. But to suspend my belief with this love story and then how it ends, and you're like, there is a perfect mate out there for everyone. That's what I fell in love with. And so I reacted as any, you know, soft-hearted, you know, hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
What about working with somebody that wasn't speaking, that, you know, had to do sign? What was that experience like?
Well, it was actually very normal to me because I have a brother who's a deaf mute. Uh-huh. And he didn't want me and my siblings to learn to sign because he wanted us to talk to him. And so he reads our lips and anything that point that we're not, you know, getting across, we write to him. And I feel kind of bad, like last year after I had learned all of this stuff, because I only learned the dialogue in the scene. I had already known the alphabet from him, and anything that I didn't, I just spell out, you know. But it was great to go home for Christmas when I had it fresh on my mind to do a little sign, and he was surprised. But, you know, so for me, it didn't feel one-sided at all because I'm used to a person who can't speak words but always convey feelings. I'm very used to that, so that felt very natural. As an actor, though, who is dyslexic and who needs, you know, the vocal cues or the audio cues from other people's dialogue to learn my lines, it was interesting in all my scenes with her that they were just running monologues. And sometimes they, you know, had, if they were about Brewster, I knew what they were about. But, you know, the short people monologue, you know, that have the non sequiturs. It was really difficult to learn those passages, honestly, because, A, you also had to learn it by doing something, because we're cleaning, and all of my dialogue with her, the majority of it was at work. So when I learn lines, you know, you sit there, you learn it sitting down. And I had to learn it standing up, folding clothes. I had to learn it mopping, all the stuff that I was doing in the movie. It was really interesting. So I had to change my technique for this movie. Glad to go back to the other way now.
I'm working with Michael Shannon. I mean, he's kind of intimidating for us journalists when we talk to him. And he's representing kind of the worst things of humanity, mm-hmm. and men in particular. Mm-hmm. How was working those very intense scenes with him?
Intense. They were very intense. But the thing about Michael is he's a really amazing actor. And what people don't know is, you know, he stays in character. We all pretty much stayed in character because there was a limited amount of time to, you know, hang out and chit-chat when you're on the set. But, you know, a couple of times, you know, when we were at lunch, you caught him humming nursery rhymes. You know, he's a dad. So he's a brilliant actor in that we believe, you know, that he is like the characters that he plays. But then, you know, people think I'm playing myself. I'm like, Guillermo didn't know me. He wrote that based on, you know, Minnie from The Help. That type of fire. But if we do our jobs well, you think you know. And the thing about Michael is he's nothing like the intimidating characters that he plays. He's a wonderful, sweet, kind dad.
Interesting. That's one of the things I like about your acting is, we were talking about this earlier, is that you've played so many different characters. They're similar, but mm-hmm. each one is individually mm-hmm. completely different.
Thank you. But, you know, that's our job, is to, It sounds crazy, but having played God, I understand it now. Finding the humanity of the characters, and when it's funny, because I really campaigned to get that job to play God, and then you get the job, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm a human. That's God. I don't know. Am I going to walk around, you know, uttering platitudes? You know, how do I, you know, how do I interact? Am I, you know, and then I got really terrified. And my way in finally was, okay, God is the Father, so that means I'm Sam Worthington's mom, and that's how I had to play it, as his mother. But you have to find the humanity in every character, even if they're despicable. like Michael's character. He can't judge the character. You can't play a character that you judge. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do has to have a reason, and you have to rationalize it. So that's what I do. I try to find what makes this person tick. And you always have to write a character biography because, you know, a person who has been traumatized in some way will react to things very differently from a person who hasn't been. And so thank you. I appreciate that.
So you sit down and write a backstory for each character?
It's very interesting because Guillermo also wrote, which I didn't know that he was going to do, write a biography for the character. And there are some things that we both had in common that are so far-fetched that there's no way that he would know it, that I would, I mean, and it was like, it was a little scary to read his biography of the character and to have those common threads that he would never know. And I said, Guillermo, I had the same thing in my biography. And he was like, oh my God. And so we, you know, so there was this wonderful intuitive nature about how we did things together.
As a writer, when you were reading the script, what was that one point that was like, you know, just super impressive for you and his ability to write, or that one thing that stood the most as a writer?
As a writer, let me tell you, as a writer and as an actress, I am so used to playing characters that support everybody else's narrative. And my character may be underdeveloped, but I love the project as a whole, so I sign on because I love the project as a whole. What Guillermo and Vanessa did, we had many movies. Every character, if you took Zelda's bits out of the movie and just ran them, it would be an independent, little independent film from beginning to end. Each character had their own arc, and we visited everyone's home, every character's life away from the workplace. We got to see those characters. So it was a very, and he did it within that amount of time. So we know it can be done. We know everyone can have a full arc. And it not detract from the main story. So I don't know if he was able to do that because the two main characters don't talk, but they still spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. But I marveled at how every character was well-rounded and full. We got to see, you know, the big buildup. I talked about Brewster so much, and usually in films, you never get to meet Brewster. Mm-hmm. Well, he gave you that moment to see this guy that she's obviously madly in love with this man because she can't stop talking about it. And all she needs is one bit of acknowledgement, and he's sitting there in his chair, you know.
Yeah.
You know? And I know. It's like sitting there in his chair, and he gives up everything in one blink. I'm like, this is who Brewster is. So the fact that he, that Guillermo was able to give us all complete stories within that narrative just blew me away.
Amazing. Is it hard to go back to a new movie where you don't have that in-depth, you know, I mean, once you have kind of like almost perfection, then you have to go backwards?
You said it. You said it. But you know what it made me realize? That I need to start playing characters where everybody else serves my character. Mm-hmm. So we are making that transition because it's so hard now that I know it can be done. Mm-hmm. You know, as a supporting player, I'm like, well, you know, nobody else is going to do this. So I need to make that transition. And it was really hard to go back. And I did two movies where I served other people's narratives. And now I'm going on to let my narrative be served.
You've been through it all by being in Hollywood for so many years and being such an amazing actress with nominations. So you've seen the transition of inclusion of diversity. Mm-hmm. How do you see that changing now to give you or allow you to have those type of roles, or does it even depend on that anymore? Or how do you see Hollywood changing?
Well, here's the thing. The people that, what is it? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. They aren't writing these roles for me. I have to make these roles for myself. I have to find those stories and those narratives for myself. They're not writing them for Reese Witherspoon either. She has to find the material and develop it herself. When I look back at the whole, Ryan Murphy feud, the fact that Joan Crawford found the crazy Baby Jane. The fact that she found it but didn't get the credit as a producer. So this is not something that's new. It's been going on for a long time. And so I could either complain about it or I can just get more involved as a producer. And I decided to get more involved and, you know, develop work, not just for myself, but for other women of color. I want to look at a movie where you can see a baby 0 months and you can find a person who's, you know, 100 years old who can still remember his lines, you know? because that's what life is. You're never going to, unless you're in a dormitory, you're never going to find just 18 to 25 year olds who look like, you know, little cookie cutouts. So I want, you know, to represent, that's what diversity is to me. I want to see all walks of life. I want to see all shades of brown and white and blue and green, whatever we have in our society. So that's what I'm developing, and I'm excited about it. And I'm also terrified because, you know, I've been doing serious dramas, and I'm tired of doing serious dramas. I want to do things that make people laugh. In these dark and desperate times, we need to laugh a little bit. So that's what I want to put out next. So don't judge me.
No.
Coming
no.
soon.
So is that what's next?
What's next is it needs to be a little lighthearted. And I can't do anything. I'm doing Madam C.J. Walker, and it's a period piece, but it's a limited series. But I'm going to take a break from serious period pieces. Because think about this, as a woman of color who didn't exist in that time period, to play a woman who had no agency whatsoever. I played a mathematician who still had no civil rights and no agency whatsoever, but she persevered. Played a maid who had children, very little education, no agency, but she persevered. I'm so sick of playing people who persevered. I want to be a serial killer. I want to be, you know, I want to, it's like, what is Octavia doing? I want to try different things on, and it may not fit. It may be the most ridiculous thing ever, but I want to at least get to try it. You know, I want to try and fail or try and succeed.
I was going to ask you, do you want to play a villain?
I am developing something right now where I could kill a lot of people.
Sounds like fun.
And I'm developing something right now where I get to investigate, you know, because that's who I am at my core. I'm an investigator. I'm a snoop. I'm a, you know, a private eye, a detective. And so I want those shots. I can't play all this serious stuff all the time. So I'm glad that I got to do this in Guillermo's movie and it's more lighthearted. Mm-hmm. Those circumstances are still there, but I am a girlfriend to a best friend who has a best friend who is closeted. Yeah, I mean, I get to do all of that and not have to play that narrative of she perseveres. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I let Eliza persevere in this one.
And it's like they put the responsibility on women of color always in Hollywood to like tell those narratives. And we just can't be like a normal person, you know, like the psycho on the street.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to be the psycho. You know, I want to hop out of the closet. And, you know, I want to be, you know, what's her name? Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
The Misery.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that you want to have the different layers because you just want to show other shades of hues in the crayon box.
It's reality.
It's reality.
It is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you often think of going to TV? Because like you said, Reese Witherspoon did her TV show and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you often think, because in TV there's a lot more strong women.
But TV, I love TV, but I don't love the TV schedule. So that's why everybody's doing, you know, cable things or limited series. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to do a cable thing.
Yeah.
Because the TV, listen.
Yeah, not network, more like cable.
Yeah, I love network money. Yeah. But the idea of working 15 hours a day every day, I know I look young, but I'm not young. And the more I, you know, you're like, oh my God, I gotta work tomorrow too. Let's put some kids in here and let me work 3 days a week. I can't do it 15 hours a day every day. So, you know, I'm getting it, but I do, I have something. I have a couple of things in development.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking more cable. Because
Definitely.
That's where the good stuff is.
You get 10 to 13 episodes, and you still have a life.
And yeah. We're just going to do last question.
Okay.
we talked so much.
How much of your role were you able to maybe improvise, or was it strictly to the T and the script?
Listen, here's the beauty for me. I like the writers to write. Mm-hmm. I, as a person whose job it is to prepare and bring life to those words, I'm a writer, and I want to hear my words. Sadly, I just want to hear your words, damn it. We could have. I mean, the only improvising we would do is adding a like changing something, and it's not anything that you do that you think about when you're doing it in the table read or in your rehearsals. But he likes the way it sounds, and because it's more organic to you and how you're going to play that character. So we didn't improvise because it was on the page.
Yeah.
That's how detailed Guillermo and Vanessa were. Guillermo, he's a machine. We would film. He would go home and rewrite. He would get 6 hours, 7 hours of sleep, then go cut the movie, and then come back to set the next day. So he was a workhorse. And we all wanted to serve the piece and not ourselves.
Love it.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all. I enjoyed this. Make me look good, guys.